Hi, good evening, everyone. I have seen you most of them in the department, so most of you know how to maintain the lab notebook, but here are some tips and things to be known to maintaining the lab notebooks. Firstly, what is lab notebook? We can go through all these things, like what you have to include in the lab notebook and what you don't need to write in that, or what you should not write in the lab notebook, and how to maintain it, and all the ethics of those lab notebooks. So lab notebook is a primary record of whatever you do in your lab. You might have different projects, but like including all the details of your projects in this lab notebook helps you to keep a record of what you have, what you are doing, what you need to be done, everything. And what to include? Actually, I have some examples of lab notebooks that I want to show you. I want to use this. DocCam.
Yeah. Or not. Not there. Let's plug in. There you go.
Zooming
is gonna be this.
Okay. I have two different kinds of lab notebooks here. I can show you even like this. The type of lab notebook that you use depends on the lab that you are in. If you are in an organic lab, you might be writing different kind of details. And lab notebooks can be of any kind. Like, you can just have these just lines, or you can have a grid space so that you can draw the graphs and everything. They can be of any kind. And when you think of writing details in the lab notebook, you have few things to be considered. So you'll be having some table of contents here for every lab notebook. So this makes your job easy to find out what you have in the page and on what date you have done those works and all those stuff. And I told you the date and time. So I'm going to show you an example. Okay.
Now, I would probably disagree with possibly. You always should be in the lab notebook.
Yeah. Here we have some titles, like title, project, date, and all those details. So you can write which project you are doing and what was the title of the work that you are doing. It might be some titrations. It might be any binding studies, like not only titration, any NMR data that you want to collect, what the type of experiments that you want to do, and also the date. And I have also written the date here because I have a lot of space on the page and I don't want to waste the page. So I just mentioned the date so that I can wisely use my lab notebook. And the next one is experimental details. If you see in this, I have few things like what I did on third, and I started small culture. So what small culture has, so it has following details, like it has a YT medium and the ampicillin in that and some stocks of bacterium. So it has some of the details of my experiments which I can understand. And the thing that you have to remember is you have to write these details in detail for the first time, so that whenever you are done with this project, and whoever is taking care of your project after you can understand what are the things that you have done in that project. Here I mentioned all the details because I have them previously, and this is not the first time I'm doing this. So I just wrote the things that I have to know, I have to remember at that time. And going to the printouts and data, I gave an examples of gels, and you can also have some sort of data like chromatograms when you are running some columns. Here I have an example of gel. If I see this gel alone, I don't know which lane is this, and I don't know what was the sample. So it's always a good idea to write your sample details, like in which lane, what you have loaded. I have loaded protein ladder. I have loaded all sorts of samples from my protein culture, and I also have written some note here because saying some sample with ammonium hydroxide is not on the gel because having that chemical can distract the samples distract the previous samples that are loaded. And I have some example. I know this because I have loaded the sample on the gel and saw some weird behavior of the sample on the gel. So I have the example of that. So I know what I'm doing and what sorts of mistakes I have done and how I have to record my data. That is important to note that, because in future when you might be doing your work today and after coming back after 1 year and thinking, okay, I did this, so I know that, and I'm repeating the same experiment, but you might miss a small logics like, I should not load on this, I should not do this part of the work in my process or something like that. And I just shown you details of our lab, and we do mostly the biophysical work, and this might include chromatograms, gels, and all sorts of data. And also I told you an example of chromatogram which I can show you here. So I did a column, and I have written here the ion exchange. If I don't have this detail, I don't know what is this, what sample is this, and when did I run, and what are the fractions I have collected, and all those stuff. And I have highlighted the part which I have collected. And also, if you see the second chromatogram, I did an analysis to elute my protein. So I thought I should do some gradient elution. So first I might start with 25% of gradient elution, 50%. So these all come under the experimental details. So you have to write each and every detail of your project, because you have to know them. And if you want to repeat them, you should know what was the changes that you made to the process and all the stuff. And here is an example of an organic lab notebook. This is one of my friend's lab notebook, and here if you see, she has drawn an image of the setup that she used on that day. She used some three-headed flask with some condenser and all the thermometer. However, she set this apparatus and what were the solvents that she has taken and from where she has connected the gas and all those details. You might think this might be silly, but when you are doing it after a long time, or someone else is looking at your lab notebook and thinking, okay, how I need to set up my experiment, what are the apparatus that I need, these kind of details can always be helpful. And also she has written the molecular weight and the how she calculated and what are the components that she has taken in her reaction and what is the reaction that she is going to set up and all sorts of details. Okay, and protocols and calculations. Protocols, I don't have an example, I think, but let me see. Yep. Sometimes you will be doing some process repeatedly, and you will be writing your process in a protocol, and you don't want to carry the paper that you. I just have that first. Okay. You don't want to carry the whole paper with you all the time, because if everything is with everything is in your lab notebook, that is easy to carry and also easy to refer back when you really needed that. And let's see an example of the calculation here. Okay. Before going to those calculations, I'll show what you have to, like how you have to maintain your lab notebook and what are the ethics. And whatever the data you collect, either it is a bad data point or a good data point, everything should go into the lab notebook. And here is the reason why you have to note all the bad data points also in your lab notebook, because you'll think of a reaction, you'll think of a project, and you'll think you want to do this, and you tried in these ways and you did not get the result, and finally you got the result with certain conditions. But to show that you have reached that point successfully, and also to prove that you have done the experiments with different reagents and also you didn't see any sorts of reaction there, you have to have some proof of what you did. Even though that's a bad data point, it also gives an information that okay, this is not going to work. So I should not repeat the same reaction. You will be having all sorts of details in that, and including the bad data points also helpful when you are writing papers, because you can in sometimes you might be writing details like okay, we did this experiment, we got some sort like these sort of results from that experiment. And we are saying that this is successful and we are having a 95% yield or 100% yield or whatever the percentage of your yield is, then you can say that, okay, we tried with different reagents and this is the details, and we saw a higher yields or a good data with the one we are reporting. And at that point, you need all your bad data points. You cannot exclude them. When you are reporting your details and when you are comparing with something, you should have everything in the lab notebook. And when you are writing a paper or something, you can have all the details with you and you can compare and write it more precisely. And you should not tear, the first thing, you should not tear any paper from your lab notebook. So, and one more thing is, when you published a paper this year and coming back after 10-15 years and someone has did some questioning like, okay, this is what you tried, but I cannot repeat this experiment, so do you have a proof that you did this? So when they go back and check your lab notebook, or you have some proofs and you want to show them, that is very helpful. But if you tear the paper which you think that okay, this is not good and I don't want this data in my lab notebook, then you will be in trouble that you might be showing a fake data and you might be manipulating your data, and all sorts of things come under this issue. So never ever tear a paper from the lab notebook, and honesty is essential, obviously. Okay, in what ways you will be benefited by keeping a good lab notebook, and how others will be benefited? If you think how I am benefited with this lab notebook, for the day one when you have taken a new lab notebook and writing each and every detail of that, you might be a new student for the lab. You don't know what were the equipments that they are using. Or what kind of protocols, or what were the buffers they are using, and all these details. So you'll be writing everything in your lab notebook. So when you are experienced with your work and you are comfortable with the lab and all the equipment and everything, but when you are teaching someone, you'll be more confident that okay, I did this, so this is the thing you have to remember, and on all these buffers are the common buffers we use. How do you know that? You know all these because you have a record of everything and you have seen, like, you have considered that, okay, if I'm using centrifuge, okay, at what RPM I am using, at what was the rotor that I need to use with, how much time I have to centrifuge the sample, and all these details. So these details are very useful to you because you undergrads will be doing some summer research or just a rotation for the lab. So you might be working 1 week or you might be working for one summer or one semester. But what if you need to work in the lab, like you got admission and you are working in that lab. So you have some experience and you know how to use that. Because you have recorded everything and when you go back and check your book, those are really helpful to you. So how others will be benefited? As I told, Jack worked in our lab. He had a lab notebook. He worked with me and some other guys in our lab. So he needs to write with whom he worked, so on what project he worked and what did he do and what were the results he got and did he finish the project or not. So once I see the lab notebook, I should understand everything that, okay, he did this, he did so and so calculation, he did these experiments, these are the results that he got. So from that I can proceed further and continue the project, or I can think ending up the project. I should know what he did. So that is more beneficial to have all the details in the lab notebooks. That way these lab notebooks can be very helpful for you and the others who wanna continue your project and proceed further. Okay, general references. I included this because most of the times you will be following the protocols or the methods that people have used previously. So say for example, you are following a person in your lab is working on one project and he already have some standards, like some methods where he is following that, making some protein or making some gold nanoparticle or anything or something like that. So he will be checking the literature and find some from good method from which he found that. He discontinued some, like maybe he finished the project or maybe he wanna do till that point, or you are continuing the project, whatever might be the reason. As I told earlier, like if you print out your paper and keep it with you until you are using, that will be with you and you will know that. And once you leave the lab, no one knows where the paper is, whether the paper is saved or not and everything. If you include these kind of details in your lab notebooks, when you think that the paper is really important because I am following the same method what they did and I wanna leave these details for my next person who is continuing this process, this will be more helpful. And with these details you can look online and print the paper. You don't need to look for the actual printed paper that the previous person worked on. And this, I don't know how many of them will follow this, but this is a very useful thing because this issue comes when you are following the one who left from the department. So you cannot contact them. Maybe there might be a chance for contacting them, but in the worst case, if you don't have any contacts with them, you don't know what was the method they followed. If you go back and check their lab notebook, you might get some details about the methods and all the references that he has gone through in his project. Okay, calculations. Here I have two calculations, examples for two calculations. Making 100 ml of 200 millimolar salt, and the second one is making 20 millimolar heaps buffer with pH 7.3. Before I go and weigh my salt or any compound, I need to calculate how much amount I have to measure, like I have to take for 1 liter or 500 ml or whatever the volume that I want to make. So you can follow the simple equation C1, V1, C2, V2. Here the C1 is the actual stock concentration if you have any stocks. Here we have one, here I have written 1 molar stock of heaps. So if I am making a buffer, say 500 ml of heaps buffer, I want, how much volume I want to take from my stock, and what was the remaining volume that I have to fill up with water or anything else, not other than water. If you want to fill up with water, that's okay, but sometimes you'll be making some buffers in which you'll have 50% of A compound A, 50% of compound B, and in that case you might not have any, might not have a water at all. It all depends on the type of buffer you make. And volume that you wanna take from your stocks, and C2 is your C2 is your final concentration, actually. I think I messed up something here. 100 ml. I switched, I think. M is for millimolar, and those are the units for concentration, and ml is for volume. And C2 will be a stock solution. Sorry, final concentration that you want, that is 20 millimolar, and V2 is the final volume. If you want to make 1 liter, it will be like 1 liter. If it is 500 ml, it is 500 ml. And you can just rearrange the equation to get the final volume that you have to take from your stock solution. And these kind of calculations need to be in your lab notebook, because sometimes, like, example from our lab, we usually make a stocks of salt for 5 molar and sodium phosphate of 0.5 molar. If we run out of the stock solutions, we make the stocks of with same concentration. We don't change often, because once we are used to that stock concentrations. Whenever we calculate our concentrations according to that, and once we write in the lab notebook, we'll follow those volumes that we calculated. Sometimes there might be a change in your stock concentrations depending on what you want to do, but most of them will maintain the stock concentrations constant, so that you don't mess up with your measurements in future. If say suppose I know that my lab make a 5 molar salt concentration buffer for stocks, but a new person came into the lab and he don't know that, and he might make 4 molar salt buffer concentration. So it's always a good thing to check what were the stock concentrations and calculate your volume that you have to take out from the stocks. But if it is like everyone will be making the same, as I told, if everyone is making of same concentrations, your calculations that you have recorded in your lab notebook will be more useful to just, okay, this is the volume I have to take from my 5 molar stocks. This is the volume I have to take from my 1 molar pipes or 1 molar heaps. So that makes your job easier if the stocks were the same. So you have to you have to have all these details on your lab notebook. Okay, as I told earlier, you have to include what are the reagents that you are using, who made it, and how to reorder is some kind of details. That who made it is like anyone can make them in the lab. So it's up to you to record who made it or not, because the stocks can be made by anyone. If you run out of the stocks, you might be the next person making the stock solution. But how to reorder is related with something with ordering. For example, we order EDTA from Sigma or Sigma-Aldrich or Fisher or Thermoscientific. But if you run out of the stock solution, you should know how to reorder that. For that, you should know the CAS number, or you should know the code that you have to order, what was the volume that you need to order, and all sorts of details. So if that is a reagent that you use in common, for suppose like EDTA in our lab, or some other compound in Dr. Emerson's lab or any other lab, they'll be having these details. But if a chemical is ordered personally for you, something like methyl cyanide or something like a specific compound only ordered for you, it is always better to have all the details in your lab notebook, so that if you run out of the chemical, you can reorder the chemical, same chemical without any change, and that is more helpful. And equipment, serial number, and all this stuff, these are important when you are writing papers, because I say in my methods I have used the so and so centrifuge with so and so rotor, and or else I have vortexed my sample using this vortex, or these kind of details. Sometimes you might be including the instrumental details there. At that point, when you go back and see, you might be there in the lab, you might be graduated and then writing the paper. Maybe that is your last paper that you want to publish. You don't know the details. Then your lab notebook is always a helpful tool for having all these details. And this is not only important for the publication part, and this is also important because you should know what you are working, and you should know what were the specifications of the instrument that you are working with. If you have some problem with the instrument, you might be troubleshooting that, you might be working on your own. At that point, you should know the details, even at least to talk to the customer care or anything like that. And water. This is important because most of the labs use the water. There are, like, you can use tap water, distilled water, or millipore water, that is like 18.2 units. Okay. This is important because sometimes you might set up a reaction with the tap water, and you set up the same reaction with the distilled water and millipore water. You might see difference, or you might not see difference. If you see difference and say tap water worked very well with compared to millipore water, you have to have those details in your lab notebook, because you wanna, when you repeat the experiment, you should use the same reagents and same type of water, that whatever the thing you have done and whatever the results that you are expecting were already seen in the past, so you have to repeat the same experimental details. So I'm specifying this because I know that some organic labs here uses the distilled water, and biophysical labs like our lab and non-organic labs like Dr. Emerson's and Dr. Lewis lab, we mostly use the millipore system. And I don't know Dr. Malsner's lab, but it depends on the requirement of the lab. So it's a good thing, and it's not bad to include those details in your lab notebook. And remember, everything can be reproducible. If you say that this is shown and I got this product and I got this result, and if someone at some point asks you details, and if they ask you like, can you reproduce and show your data, I remember one thing. I mean, probably Dr. Fitzky might have known that too. When Eileen is publishing her first paper, I think they have asked for some experiments, or they asked some questions like, is it reproducible or something like that. So at that point, she repeated all the experiments and she has all the details with her. So that make her job easy. So remember that whatever you do should be reproducible. You have to confirm that this is happening at least by repeating the experiment at least for 3 times. Okay, here I have some examples for that, and what you have, like which pen you have to use in the lab notebook and why it is important, and why I'm stressing on this point. I have examples here. Say if I suppose I have this here. So the first one is pencil. If you sit in the last one, you can barely see that. And the same happens with your lab notebook too. If you write with a pencil, as the time passes, you might see that the details are erasing or damn, like those are not clearly visible. So it's always good thing to write the lab notebook with a ballpoint pen, and you you also need to think whether I can write my details with a gel pen or a Sharpie or a lab marker or not. Here I want to use some solvents that are commonly seen in the chemical laboratories, say for example acetone. If I'm working with acetone and I have my lab notebook open and I have written my things with I have written my details with pencil and ballpoint pen or whatever the pen I'm using. If I spill the acetone on the lab notebook, you can see that the damage is happening there. So you can see among all the five options there, the only one that is visible and at least clear is the ballpoint pen. And this is acetone. And acetone just wiped up the one that is written with a lab marker, Sharpie pen, even with gel pen and pencil. I already told that pencil is not a recommended thing for writing your notes in the lab notebook. And let's see how it would be if you use ethanol. Even this also wipes up. The same thing happens. So always make sure that if you need the data and it is very important for you, write with a ballpoint pen. And don't write with any Sharpie or any lab marker or anything in your lab notebook. And what if you spill some water on the... This is the only solvent which doesn't disturb any of your ink, but you will not be working with the water only. You might be working with some organic solvents, you might be working with some buffers or anything else. So make, and also one more thing, when you spill something on your lab notebook, don't just wipe like this. That might tear your lab notebook, that might erase your data. So always let it dry. And then you can do whatever you want, but don't wipe that whenever you spill something on your lab notebook. So let me clean this. Writing with on your lab notebook. And, okay, what if you have written something wrong on your lab notebook? You should not do that, the first part, because it might also be a wrong thing, showing that you did some manipulation or something like that. If that is your original data point that you have collected and you don't want that, you change the value with something else, but you made that totally invisible and cannot be read that. So when someone go back and check your lab notebook, they might have a question that, okay, did she report the actual value? So always a better thing is to just strike that, and that way you can, and also a good thing is you can write a small note there if that is really important for you. So this is what you should not do. I have something to do. Okay, and I wanna say the don'ts that you have to take care of your lab notebook. never ever write anything about your lab mates or friends or anything on the lab notebook. Don't write in any comments or anything like act or any kinds of reactions or sounds on the lab notebook, because that's not your personal diary. It's a record of your work, and this is a proof of your work. And wherever you go, even though you are here or not there, anyone can check your lab notebook and see what's happening with your project or what did you do, and who, if anyone is following your project after you, they'll be seeing your lab notebook. That if you have all sorts of personal things on the lab notebook, that makes the next person to feel bad. And even if your lab mates read the lab notebook accidentally, they might feel bad. And those are the things that you should not include in the lab notebook. And who own these lab notebooks is obviously the university in which you are studying. And it should always be in the lab. Even though you graduated, you can take a copy of this lab notebook, like a Xerox copy or a scanned copy, but you have to leave the original lab notebook in the lab. You cannot carry with you. Okay, I have shown you some data where you can input in your lab notebook like this. So I told you, you can paste your chromatograms here. But what if you have some complex data like NMR data or any other spectroscopic data? Mostly, if you have a huge data set which you cannot include in your lab notebooks, you will be writing the source where you have saved them. And we usually have a complex data for NMR experiments. So we will be saving all our data on the server that we have. But sometimes you can have small details of your data, so you can always print that and paste it here. So if you think that this is important, I should have this in the lab notebook, and it is flexible and okay that you can print the data, and you can always do this, you can always print the data and post it here. But sometimes it might not be possible to have the complex data, so it is a good practice to store the data online. We have a lot of online sources. We have Dropbox, we have Google, we have even Gmail is providing some space for saving your data. But apart from this, you should write all the places where you have saved this data, so that if your advisor is looking up your data, and if something like NMR data and you have your advisor need to take a look at that and confirm that you did it correct, he should know the path where you have saved and what are and all those details. So you can save the complex data in your lab notebook if it is possible to save, like a small HSQC example. So if you have a complex data more than like, say, some 3D experiments, it is a better, there are many online sources and also the servers that university provide. So make sure that you write the place where you are saving your complex data in your lab notebook if you cannot include the data in the lab notebook. And complex data also includes these chromatograms. With that, I would like to end the session. Thank you.